This is Montana Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Edward O'Brien. Prosecutors have charged a man with criminal endangerment in the death of a woman in Great Falls. The Great Falls Tribune reports investigators say Roy Edward Scott told them he and Stephanie Wells had been drinking at a bar and got into a fight after they returned home early Saturday. Scott says he restrained Wells on the floor for 10 to 15 minutes and she stopped breathing. He and his teenage son performed CPR on Wells until help arrived. Wolves have been blamed for the deaths of two yearling heifers on a ranch near the southern Montana town of Absorkey, prompting state wildlife officials to set snares near the cattle carcasses. The Billings Gazette reports wildlife officials say the wolves are believed to be from the same rosebud pack that killed a yearling on a nearby ranch in January. According to Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, 44 cattle were killed by wolves in Montana last year, and 14 were injured. A Missoula-based foundation has teamed up with two New Mexico state agencies to provide hunter access to 81 square miles of public and state trust land in that state. The Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation says the effort will provide an easement for hunters to use a road that provides the only access to state trust land that is wildlife habitat. Two sons of Nevada rancher Clive and Bundy are among six people due to make first appearances in federal court in Las Vegas on charges stemming from an armed confrontation with government agents 2 years ago. Ammon Bundy, Ryan Bundy, then four men accused of being with them both at the Bundy Ranch in April 2014 and at an Oregon wildlife refuge this year, are expected to plead not guilty and remain in custody. An attorney for the Montana Commissioner of Political Practices says a state lawmaker received thousands of dollars worth of services from corporations that he never reported for his 2010 election campaign. Special Attorney General Gene Gerussi told jurors yesterday that Representative Art Wittig of Bozeman knew or had to have known what the groups affiliated with the National Right to Work Committee were doing on his behalf. Wittig's on trial on allegations of coordinating with and accepting unreported contributions from corporations in violation of Montana campaign finance laws. Wittig attorney Lucinda Lutkemeyer responded by telling jurors that Wittig hired a vendor and paid fair market value for the services he received. Lutkemeyer called the investigation into him by Commissioner Jonathan Modell a, quote, government overreach horror story. A settlement of a lawsuit involving a Montana wind farm and protections for hawks and eagles has been reached. The Great Falls Tribune reports that wind farm owner Natureener USA and San Diego Gas and Electric have reached an agreement. A conditional settlement agreement to end litigation was filed February 11th with the California Public Utilities Commission, which still needs to rule on the proposal. SDG&E agreed to help finance the Rimrock wind farm and purchase power, but later sued Natureener, arguing it had been misled about the threat to the raptors. Natureener then filed a breach of contract countersuit. Under the proposed settlement, SDG&E would end a $285 million equity investment, but would continue to purchase power generated at the wind farm. Natureener would apply for an eagle take permit, which would authorize the disturbance to raptors. A Gallatin County prosecutor is appealing a justice court ruling that found Montana's law on domestic violence arrests discriminates against men. On March 18th, Justice of the Peace Rick West dismissed a misdemeanor partner family member assault charge against a Big Sky man after the man's attorney argued the state law is unconstitutional. The law states that when officers respond to what may have been mutual aggression, the officer can evaluate the situation to determine the predominant aggressor. Criteria include prior history, severity of the injuries, the relative sizes and apparent strength of each person, and their apparent fear of one another. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle reports West agreed with attorney Al Avignon that the size and strength and fear issues predispose officers to arrest the man involved. Justice Court does not set precedent, and the law remains in place. A satellite voting office is opening on the Blackfeet Reservation for the first time, Bree Zender reports.
The new office in Browning would help reservation residents gain equal access to same-day voter registration. Tom Rogers, a lobbyist for Native American rights and a Blackfeet tribal member himself, says that extreme poverty and long distances often deny tribal members access to same-day voter registration.
If you're a single woman, and a mother, and you have $20 and a car that might not run, and it's November, are you going to be able to drive to Cut Bank?
Glacier County Commissioner and Blackfeet Tribal Member Michael DeRozier says that reservation residents would often have to travel 70 miles round trip to register to vote in Cut Bank.
So there's a problem with getting Native people to register and to vote and to understand that that is an important right and it is an important issue that Native people need to pursue. But because of the history, it's kind of been on the back burner, you know.
Glacier County has been working to open a satellite voting office for 10 years now. Four Directions is a group dedicated to helping Native Americans gain access to voting rights in Montana. In 2012, they sued Montana Secretary of State Linda McCullough for denying equal voting access to reservation voters. They plan to expand to other reservations in Montana and Nevada. Bree Zender, Montana Public Radio.
A political operative hired by the National Right to Work Committee says State Representative Art Wittig received a wide range of campaign services in 2010 because he was on board with the anti-union group. Sarah Arnold says Right to Work's goal was to elect candidates who would promote the group's goals. She says Wittig and other Montana candidates who were selected received a comprehensive campaign package called The Works. Wittig says he paid for all of the services he received. The first woman to hold a coaching position in the National Football League will headline Montana's next summit on equal pay. Jennifer Welter, a preseason coaching intern for the Arizona Cardinals last year, is scheduled to give the keynote address at the Equal Pay Summit. That summit is set for May 2nd through the 3rd at Montana State University in Bozeman. ESPNW named Welter as one of the 25 most influential women in sports in 2015. Governor Steve Bullock says the summit will partly focus on promoting leadership, support, and education to bring women's pay in parity with men. Bullock says Montana women make about 67 cents for every dollar made by men. Bullock established the Equal Pay for Equal Work Task Force in 2013 to help address pay inequity. Thank you for listening. For Montana Public Radio, I'm Edward O'Brien.